Now he gets it. Friday morning. He didn't get this before. Friday morning that he was going to be doing what he did. He did know that he was betraying innocent blood though, didn't he? Because you don't spend 3.5 years with Jesus of Nazareth and come to the conclusion there's something wrong with this guy. But no, he's innocent. And in a way that no human being is innocent. Like he does everything right. Doesn't do anything bad and does everything that God asks of human beings. And that's why when Jesus asked Judas, "Are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Judas didn't lean in and whisper, "Yes, yes I am, and you deserve every bit of it." Now there are some folks who suggest that Judas had this epiphany first on Friday morning. There's a reason for this. You see, they assume that Judas had this all planned out in his mind and that somewhere along the way, Jesus would use the powers that Judas had seen him use over the past 3.5 years and he would escape. Sure, he would get roughed up a little bit, but he would escape and he would be free, and then Judas would have what he wanted, which was the 30 pieces of silver. And so when Judas sees that things aren't happening the way that he thought they would happen, then that's when he comes to this epiphany that he realized that he had participated in a betrayal that had not gone as anticipated. But I don't buy that. Jesus had made it very clear to his disciples on numerous occasions that when they went to Jerusalem, this is what's going to happen. I will be betrayed. I will be arrested. I will be crucified. I will die and I will be buried. And the rest of the disciples understood this to the point where Peter, you remember that when Jesus talked about this and Peter took Jesus by the arm away from the other disciples and he said, "Never, Lord, this will not happen to you." They understood. And when Jesus reclined at the table the night before and they celebrated the Passover and Jesus said, I tell you that one of you will betray me. The disciples are like, "This is unthinkable. One of us." No. They understood what Jesus said. But above all of them, out of all of the 12, Judas alone understood his particular place in this betrayal, and he knew exactly how it would happen because he had already started to do the unthinkable, didn't he? Everything happened the way Judas planned it to go. In fact, everything happened the way it had been told Judas that it would go. So no, Judas doesn't gain some new insight there on Friday morning at the dawn's early light. Everything happens the way exactly Judas planned it to go. And Judas gets everything that he had decided that he would get. Judas knew on Thursday night that he had planned to betray innocent blood. But the thing is that he went ahead and did it anyway. But then the dawn's early light, as light often does to sin, when it shines on sin, it makes sin look a little bit different, doesn't it? And it's then that Judas realized that there was one way to get what he wanted to get. And it was that one thing that he wanted to get. It was the only thing that was going to make him happy. The only thing that would fulfill him, that would complete him, that would make everything right, that would fill that hole, that emptiness inside of him. We know what that's like, don't we? We know what it's like to have that one thing, or to want that one thing. But it changes, doesn't it? Because it depends on the situation. Maybe it's that one thing that we need in that moment to make us happy. Or maybe it's that one thing that we need just to help us cope. Or maybe it's that one thing that's going to help us with our anger. Or it's that one thing that we need that's going to help us reach our goal. And the thing is that desires like that, they don't go away. They just grow and grow and they get worse and worse until it's just that it's that one thing that matters in the world. Well, not the world, but in our world. Because we feel that in that moment that if we get that one thing, then our world will be better, that it will be complete. And like Judas, then we're left standing there having gotten what we have wanted and what we had strived to get. And like Judas, he had wanted the 30 pieces of silver. So there he was standing there Friday morning holding what he had wanted, the 30 pieces of silver. But then comes the dawn. Even though we now have exactly what we wanted, we're left standing there asking this question. And it's not, what have we done? Because we know the answer to that question. We did everything that we knew we would do. But the question that we ask ourselves is, how could I have done this? How could I have done this with my eyes wide open? Knowing exactly what I was going to do and exactly what I was going to get. And we knew it was wrong even before we did it, but we did it anyway. You know what that makes us? I don't even know if I can say it out loud. Because it's even hard to think those words. It makes us bad people. It makes us evil people. And we don't like to feel that way, do we? And like Judas, we're filled with remorse, regret. You've probably heard the term buyer's remorse. Maybe you've experienced this when you go to the store or go to the car lot and you buy something and you come home and you go, well, we probably shouldn't have bought that. And I'm wondering if that's how Judas felt, but I don't know if we would call it buyer's remorse because he didn't really buy anything. He sold something. Maybe we would call it seller's remorse because Judas sold something. Well, actually, he sold someone and he got something in return for it. But Judas said, the Bible says he felt remorseful. He was seized with remorse. He wished that he hadn't done it, but realized that it was too late. And so what he does is he goes to the chief priest and he says, here, take it back. As if he could give it back and they were going to give Jesus back to him. But they're not going to do that. It's that terrible feeling that we have when we sin with our eyes wide open and we are seized with remorse and regret, maybe even as much as Judas was. But all the regret in the world doesn't allow us to go back in time and to change that thing that we did with eyes wide open. And all of the regret in the world, even if we were to give back what we received, just like Judas did with the 30 pieces of silver, doesn't mean that the regret and the remorse go away because the guilt remains. That's the problem. And the Bible tells us that Judas is seized with remorse. Remorse had such a hold on him that it was the only thing in his world at that moment. He regretted what he had done. He repented. He saw that what he had done was wrong and he tried to turn from it and to make it right. But was it true repentance? Well, the Bible tells us Judas, he went out and hanged himself. Judas turned from that sin and he tried to make it right, but he failed to turn to the one who could and who would free him from that guilt and offer him full forgiveness. But Judas did not believe it. Now, I just want to make a side note here at this point. If you ever get to that point in your life like Judas, where you just feel so much regret, remorse, and that guilt is just so much that you feel like hurting yourself, please go talk to someone. Because there is help for you and there is hope for you. And if you ever listen to someone who is in such deep regret and remorse and guilt that there is nothing else that they are thinking of but hurting themselves, tell someone, please. Because there is help for them. And there is hope for them. And that hope is found in the blood of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians. He said, "For godly grief works repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly grief produces death." It's that latter type of grief that Judas had, the grief that produces death. But thank God that he tells us what godly grief looks like. He says, godly grief works repentance that leads to salvation. So when you are standing there on Friday morning and the sun is shining bright on your sin and it's exposing all of your, how could I have done those moments? Then you take that guilt and you turn to the cross of Jesus and you stand there seeing him crucified. You stand at his feet and you hold that guilt out in front of him. And you let him bleed all over it. Do not let your guilt consume you as it consumed Judas. Because there is someone who has consumed your guilt for you. The Apostle Peter said, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. That's such a foreign concept to us, I think, because oftentimes we talk about Jesus bearing our sins, right? That is true. But Peter says he bore our sins in his body, which means that he took your remorse and your regret and your guilt, all of it, and he hid it in himself, and he took it to the cross to put it to death, to become the guilty one, so that you might go scot-free. And that's exactly what you are. God says to you tonight, you are innocent. And if you ever wonder, how in the world could God even begin to think of saying those words to me? Then you go back to the words of the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 3, he writes, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All means all, and all means you, and all means me, which means we are all in this together. You are not alone in your feelings of guilt and remorse and regret. We've all fallen short of God's glory. But then Paul goes on with this beautiful sentence. He says, "And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." All means all. And all means you, and all means me. All are justified, which means God declares you to be not guilty. He declares you to be innocent because of his grace. Grace moved him to send Jesus to become the guilty one in your place, and then to pay the redemption, Paul says. That means God pays a price. What amazing love. That God would think to use his own blood, God's blood, to pay the price to set you free. And that's exactly what you are. And so, my dear friends, when you are seized with remorse, you go to him who has seized your guilt by the throat and has put it to death on his cross. When you are seized with regret, then you go to him who has no regrets about what he has so graciously done for you. And when the daylight exposes your sin, then you go to him who exposed himself as the sin of the world and has taken you and has hidden you in himself. So go home tonight and lay your heads on your pillows and know that you are innocent, that you are not guilty. Go home tonight. Lay your heads on your pillows and be at peace. Be at peace with God. Be at peace with yourself. And then go. Go and live that guilt-free life. Amen.